cares for the lilies of an open field and caresses the petals with dew. If he acknowledges a tree when the wind makes it kneel, how much more just one word in common angry wind, and peace be still calms the rolling sea. He can speak, peace be still, to the storm that's within. That's how much that he really loves me. If he'll take out the time to turn a desert from its dry, and he'll carve out the river to the sea, just to give a little fish another place he can live, how much more does he love you and I. He has made a place for all that has been. I've been told, and I believe it's true. He's preparing me a place I don't know about. Comprehend it, but that's how much he loves me. Thank you, Jesus. How much more than a fragrant rose that he gives life in the spring? Or does he love me less? Just one word in common angry wind, and peace be still calms the rolling sea. He can speak, peace be still, to the storm that's within. That's how much that he
joy since he came. I'm going to tell of his power every day and every hour. I'm going to lift up that wonderful name. I'm going to lift up that wonderful name.
Well, you may talk about world conditions. You can talk about all that's gone wrong. You can state your view and position, but I'm gonna sing me a song. Well, I don't have time to worry, heartaches I just can't afford. I'll sing and I'll never be sorry for praising the name of my Lord.
I'm gonna lift up the name of Jesus, gonna sing of my joy since he came. I'm gonna tell of his power every day and every hour. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful,
wonderful name.
I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name. There's too many songs for singing, for me to wearing a frown. There's too much joy he's bringing for me to ever be down.
Yes, amen.
I'm gonna lift up the name of Jesus, gonna sing of my joy since he came. I'm gonna tell of his power every day and every hour. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the songs, the music, the Spirit of the Lord. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being a mechanic. I wished I was. But I tell you, there's some things in life that the Lord, he gives talents here and there, and it wasn't here, it must have been there. Praise God. You love him? Say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, excuse me. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I've tried, as seeking the Lord for the service tonight, I told the Lord, Lord, I've preached on this subject, seems like several times here recently, but I just couldn't get away from God's dealing with my heart. Had a person ask me here just a few weeks ago, they said, doesn't it make you feel funny when you stand up before this congregation knowing that you're going to be leaving and preaching that we should win the lost and see the city of Lawton won to God? No way. It doesn't bother me. Friend, a soul is a soul, whether it be in Lawton, Oklahoma, whether it be in Duncan, or across the world. And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. You see, soul winning is not something that we should do just on a crusade, or when we feel like it. But soul winning, being an example of Christ's love, is something we do every minute of every waking day. While we're on vacation, while we're buying groceries. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Father, we're thankful tonight for your presence that we sense. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit that we know is here because we feel him. Pray, God, that you'll take the word tonight, Jesus, that you would take it, apply it to our lives, let it sink deep in our hearts. Pray, God, that you would challenge us tonight. And Lord, that your will would be accomplished around these altars at the close of this service. We love you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to talk to you tonight on being able to see with your heart. How many can see with your heart? Raise your hand. Everybody should be able to when we finish tonight. Being able to see with your heart, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Now, saints, there's a lot of different ways to build a church. I just know a few. I've heard about them. And one way is to build it on personality. When that personality leaves, the church declines. There's one way of building a church, and that is upon programs, what we can offer you in the way of activities. When everybody that's in charge of the activities get burnt out, people look elsewhere. But the way that God wants a church to grow is through the reproduction system, where you touch a life, God touches that life through you, and then that life touches another life. Friends, it just spreads. But we have to have a vision of those that are around about us. We must. There is no reason why that in Lawton, Oklahoma, as Brother Elmore mentioned Sunday, that this church could not be packed out if we would but just get a vision and say, God, open my eyes that I may see from my heart. The Lord dealt with me about three different circumstances in the Word of God. If you'd like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, I'd like to talk about tonight the story of the little maid, the little Israeli maid that was taken captive by Naaman. I'd like to talk about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I'd like to talk about the four men and the paralytic of Luke chapter 5 verses 18. But I want us to look at the vision of this little Israeli maid that's talked about in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 3. The Bible says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." We see this little Israeli maid as she had been captive, taken captive by the Syrian army. We find her in this heathen country of Syria. We see how that this little Israeli maid had been torn from her mom and dad, had been torn from all of her family and all of her friends, had been torn from her, from all of those about her, from her home, from the things that she held dear, and she has found herself in a place that she knows nothing about, has no idea why she's there. And this little maid could have, through her own eyes, as she looked at Naaman, her master, looked at him with revenge and hatred. She could have looked at him and said, "Why in the world did you bring me down here away from my home?" And things could have built up within her own spirit that she could have never reached out to him. My friend, as we look at her in this passage of Scripture, we see that this little maid, this little Israeli maid, she looked beyond these things. And she looked at the circumstances of her master. And she saw his need. She saw his disease, for Naaman was a leper. And friends, so many times when people hurt us, when people talk about us, when people, we seemingly cannot stand to be around the person because of the sin and degradation in their life, things can crop up within our own spirit that we cannot see clearly. Our vision becomes blurred, and we cannot see really where they're coming from, the lostness of their own heart. But as this little Israeli maid, as she looked beyond all of that, her eyes were open to the need of her master. She felt compassion for his need. She felt regret for his condition. Friends, she had the love of God in her heart. And she was looking through not her own eyes, but friends, she was looking from her own heart to the need of this man. We look at the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 as he traveled from Jericho to Jerusalem. The Bible says that this Good Samaritan, as he traveled along, that he came upon a man that had been beaten and robbed, laying by the wayside. And two had already passed before this man of Samaria, a priest and a Levite, a religious man, supposedly good men in their community, Christian leaders, but friends, they were so involved with keeping their own cloaks clean, keeping themselves from being polluted with the things of this world, that they simply marched on by. Friends, they passed what real religion is all about as they passed this man that was in need laying in their path, but as they went on by, not really seeing him as Christ wanted them to see this man. My friends, I want you to know that so many times we look at ourselves and we say, thank God we've got a good church. Thank the Lord for salvation. Thank the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for divine healing. I'm glad that my wife is saved and my kids are all in the ark of safety. But yet we do not look beyond the own walls of our own home, our own church. We do not see those that God has laid before us so that we might minister to those needs and reach out in real compassion and seeing their need and being touched by their hurt and their feeling that they are experiencing. Friends, listen, we must catch a vision of those that are lost and dying without God. As this good Samaritan passed by, the secret, friend, was the Bible says that when he looked upon him, that he had compassion. A lot of people, they're looking at those that are in dire need and they're seeing their need. They're saying, yes, they are in desperate need of God, but friends, there's nothing within their bosom that is reaching out in compassion and love, and that does not come from ourselves, but friends, this comes from an almighty God, for we are, in our natural self, we just normally do not care about others in need. Who's lying in your path tonight? Who do you work with? How many relatives do you have that's without Jesus? How many do I have? Friends, God wants to use every one of us to be a vessel that He can use for His glory. Praise God. We look at the four men. That was a friend of the paralytic or the palsy in the New Testament. They could have looked at him and said, we just want to be just kind of a standoffish friend. We want to know who you are and where you work and what you're doing. But we don't really want to get involved with your life, with your problem, with your need. And friends, a lot of Christians today, they want all the blessings and they want God to move and to bless their life and they want to be a soul winner. But when it comes to the point that God wants them to get involved with somebody else's problem, then they draw back and they said, God, I've got enough problems of my own. Why should I have to care about someone else's? But church, I want you to know something tonight. When you're seeing from your heart and you're being filled with compassion for the lost, hear me tonight. You must get involved with people. How are we to win someone to Jesus, friends, if we first cannot be their friend and see their need and hear their heartbeat? Friends, listen, when we get to the place that we're seeing people from our heart, we're seeing people as Jesus looks at their lives and He sees them in the darkest hour. He sees them when they're downcast and when they're despondent. Friends, then we can reach out and say, listen, I don't care the cost. You can call me anytime, day or night. Friends, I want to see you find Jesus. I want to see you need man. I want to be that helping hand before God Almighty. But so many churches today have closed themselves up and said, yes, we've got our quota and we will make it to heaven if we'll all pull together and keep everybody saved. But my friend, this is not the Great Commission, for God told us to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel and let the love of Jesus Christ flow from our very beings and be an instrument extended to a lost and dying generation filled with love and compassion that they might see Jesus in us and know that there is a reality in serving Him. We have a visitor here tonight that's in service simply because that Brother Lloyd Robinette talked to him in the mall today. Friends, every one of us, listen, every one of us have a responsibility to God. Brother Lloyd has a gift of gab. And he can talk, and it's easy for him. Man, I appreciate it. Listen, we have a lot of people that's come through these doors because of his life. You might say, well, I can't talk like that, and I'm a little shy. Friends, give to God what you got. You see, when we are aware of the situation around us, as we're seeing from our heart, we're sensitive to the needs that are around about us, just as the little maid. She said, I would to God that my master was at the prophet in Samaria. That's all she said. In essence, that's saying to your next door neighbor, I sure wish that you could come to church with us and hear our preacher preach and feel the presence of God. They're not wanting doctrinal discussions most of the time, friends. They're looking for something that can help them and meet the need and lift them out of sin. Put broken marriages back together and bring their lost kids home. And when you say, oh, listen, I don't know a whole lot, but friends, I do know that Jesus is real. And when you go to church, at our church, you sense the presence of God, and He'll meet your need. If you'll just come, listen, give to God what you have, and He will take it and multiply it for the glory of the Lord. If it's just sending a person a card and saying, we're sure glad to have you in church Sunday. Won't you come back? We'll miss you if you're not there. Friends, whatever you got, give it to God. You see, awareness of those around you sparks something inside. God looked at this earth and He saw humanity. And He saw the sins of mankind. And he felt their hurt, and He felt their lostness, and He felt the situation that they were in. And friends, He did not turn up His nose and said, yes, you're lost. But friends, it sparked action in God's heart. And He said, son, you must go, for there's no other way. Jesus got involved with you and me tonight, saints. He got involved. And He wants us to be involved. As the Good Samaritan passed by, he could have said, I'm in too much of a hurry. I'm too busy to stop. And friends, we live in such a fast society and a fast pace. Listen, we've got to slow down and recognize those individuals that God is placing in our pathway. And being sensitive to the Spirit of God, that we recognize their need. But you see what happens so many times is we get up in the morning, running late. We say, God, I don't have time to talk to you right now. I don't have time to read your word right now, but I'll catch you later. And then we go through the day, and then we come to a service, and the minister's preaching on being a soul winner, and we wonder why that we don't recognize those around us. Friends, they're there every day. The problem's not with them seeing us, but friend, it's with us seeing them. When you get up in the morning and you say, Jesus, more than I want to make a dollar today, more than I want to have good health today, Father, I want my life to be a testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. I want to feel when someone's hurting. I want to sense their needs. Oh Lord, give me an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone. My friend, God will allow you to begin to share the power of saving grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The man, as he walked, as he passed by, friends, he got involved. He called off his beast of burden. He bound up the man's wounds, poured on the oil and the wine, placed him upon his own beast, led him into the city, and he put him up He took time. He took of his own effort. And he took of his own resources to meet someone's need. Friends, it might be missing a few hours of sleep. It might take some of your pocketbook. And it might take some of your effort to win one soul to Jesus Christ. But hear me tonight, saints. Is the price too great? If we see this soul 100,000 years from now burning in hell. You see, what's the church all about? Why are you saved? Why am I saved? Just for fellowship? That's part of it. But my friend, there's more to it than that. God saves us to be a shining light in a dark and dying world. And we've got to get a hold of God and know that God is directing us and ministering through us before we can really feel assured in our heart that we're being pleasing in the eyes of God. Been several times the last several months I've been praying that God would use my life. You see, I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. I've been raised up in church all of my life. I was born into this thing. And I know what it is to come into service after service, and month after month, and year after year, and never be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost to the place that I'm willing to lay my desires and my priorities aside and give them to God and say, God, take my life and use it for the glory of God. I know. I know what it is to set and God to bless my heart and feel like I'm so righteous and so holy, and to go home and never mention His name until next Sunday. And friend, I'm not the only one. But you see, the problem is, it was with me. It wasn't sin from my heart, Sister Walker. When you begin to see from your heart, you see beyond the impurity of a harlot. You see beyond blurry eyes of an alcoholic. Friends, listen. You see their soul. They need God. They need God. They need God. They need God. These four men, as they were willing and they cared enough to get involved with this paralytic man, could have went to where Jesus was at, saw the crowd and saw the hustle and bustle and said, listen, fella, it's too crowded. It's too busy. Too much trouble to get you in there. Friends, they cared enough. They loved that man so much. How much do we love? How much do we love? How much do we care? Friends, they loved this man so much that they took him up on top of the roof. And the Bible says that they tore the roof back and they lowered this man down. Friends, they were not taking no for an answer. And when you begin to witness to someone and they say, no, I don't want to hear. Friends, don't give up. Listen to God and be persistent. Be persuasive, because you're dealing with their soul. And friends, we've got to see souls won in the kingdom of God, or we have shirked our responsibility as a church and as a Christian. There have been times the last several months God did not open the door to share with someone till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. You think I gripe? No way, man. I was so excited to see God open doors. You see, it's not going to be when it's convenient on you. It's not going to be just when you're all prayed up and you're shouting glory. Friend, that's why it's so important to read the Word daily and pray and stay in tune and touch with God, so that when that opportunity avails itself before you, that you are ready to share the love of Jesus Christ and they sense the anointing and the conviction of God coming from your life and your words that you speak. The idea of a lot of Christians today is, let's love God and have a big time. Friends, time's too short. Think of your own relatives. Think of your brothers and your sisters. Think of your moms and your dads, your sons and your daughters that's lost without Jesus. Think, friend, think. Eternity. Eternity without God. Can we afford to play a game with God? This is so heavy on my heart. God's looking for just a few good men and women to serve Him. I tell you tonight, church, that any church see from their heart, they're going to see babes won around these altars. Because when God has a vessel that is willing to place their lives in the hands of God and saying, God, my business is second. My education is second, God. My home is second. My new car is second, God. My winning the lost, God, is first. You hear me tonight, saints? He is looking for a people and a channel and a vessel that He can fill and anoint with His Spirit. Not just preachers and not just teachers, but friend, every born-again believer that is in touch with God and covered by the precious blood of Jesus to win the lost, because He knows what's really going on. See, Samson arose, shook himself, and wished not the power had departed from him. I love you tonight, saints. You're part of me. I've been raised up in this church since I was 12. But it's so easy to be complacent. Not to care. To feel like we're doing God a favor because we come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. Pay your tithes. You might say, Brother Dacus, this just isn't my calling. Friends, you don't know what your calling is really all about. You might say, I'm not cut out for inviting someone to church. I don't feel like it. Friends, then I doubt if your salvation is up to date. Because when you love Jesus in your heart, and you're seeing from your heart, He's motivating you in love and compassion. And when you look on those that are laying before you, and you really can see them as Jesus is seeing them, you're moved with compassion, and that compassion sparks something in your spirit and your soul, and you say, God, I'm available for whatever you want me to do, whether it be my time, my money, whatever you want, God, it's yours. I've been so blessed. There's a particular person in this church that's been praying this prayer, and they don't know I'm going to say this. They probably didn't know I knew, but they've been praying this prayer, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'm available. That's where it's at, friends. Being available before God and saying, God, here it is. The Lord called me to preach. But God, you made a big mistake. A lot of people still think that. And they have probably good reason to feel that way. Friends, I want you to know something. When God called me to preach, I said, God, whatever I have is yours. And you take it, whatever you can do with it, it's better what I can do with it. And we need to be willing to say, God, here it is. Whatever. If you want me to teach a Sunday school class, you see, I took my little niece to the post office today, little Allison. She's not much over two, I don't believe. I'll probably get shot after service. But I was singing a song, and she started singing one she knew. She was singing, "Jesus is my answer. What a friend is he. My beloved God who died on Calvary." She sang that whole thing through. I said, "Where'd you learn that at?" She said, "Vacation Bible School." What I'm getting at, friend, is there is a teacher that instilled in that little heart, "Jesus is my answer. What a friend is he. No job is too small. No work is too insignificant, friends. As long as you give your heart to God and your life to God and say, 'God, whatever I can do for you, please use it.'" Friends, he's looking for people that can see with the heart, has a vision for the lost. Bow your heads with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Judy, play that close to this song. I want Judy to sing this song tonight. I know we've sang it before. But friends, I believe God is doing a work in hearts and lives. Listen to the words tonight.
"Touch through me, Holy Spirit. Touch through me,
yes, Jesus.
Let my hands reach out to others. Touch through me. There's a lonely soul somewhere needing just one friend to care. Touch through me, Holy Spirit. Touch through me."
You're in this service tonight. You say, "Brother Dacus, I feel empty inside. To be real honest with you, I feel awful lonely." You might at one time know what it was to feel the presence of God warm your spirit. Felt His love as He cradled you in His arms. But tonight that love is gone. You got too busy for God. You strayed away from His love and His care. But my friends, Jesus is here tonight. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together, that He's in the midst of them. And He is here. And He said, "Come unto me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, "If you'll just call upon my name," He said, "I'll save you. If you confess your sins," He said, "I'll be faithful to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." You're in this service tonight. I feel that there are those that are without Jesus. But you would like to feel His touch. You'd like to feel like there's really something worth living for. You'd like some peace, some joy in your life. I want you to slip up your hands. We want to pray for you tonight that God will touch your life. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many more will lift your hand tonight? You need Jesus. Friends, His Spirit is here. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I
pray that the Spirit of Jesus would touch these hands that have been lifted. And Satan, we rebuke and bind you in the name of the Lord. And we pray, God, that the love of Jesus would begin to flow as they open their heart to you. They confess their sins before you. Minister to their lives, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Praise you for it. Everybody standing. I want Judy to sing this chorus again. And as she sings it, if you really want to be the vessel that can say before God, oh God, I'm singing with my heart. I'm singing with my heart. The heart that you dwell, the heart that you inhabit, the heart that's filled with love and compassion, Jesus, I'm singing through that heart. Or I want to see through that heart. I want you to come. I want you to just kneel and ask God to do a work in your heart. Sing it, Judy.
Touch through me, Holy
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Thank you,
touch
Jesus.
Touch through me.
Thank you, Jesus. Your priorities. Do you love enough? Do you care enough that you're willing to say, Jesus, help me to see through my heart. Help me to see through my heart, Jesus. Help me to be filled with compassion. Give me a burden. Give me a burden. Let me be your hand extended, Jesus. Let me be your love extended, oh God.
And
flow through me, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Water's pure and clean, flow through.